Rodney Brown from National, I'm going to say this right, National Security Operations in Missouri.
Mississippi.
Why do I screw that up?
And it's ops.
It's ops. Say it again for the record.
National Security Ops out of Mississippi.
All right. Very good. Been in the business for?
3 years now.
3 years. All right. You know what I like to do, and I do this with a lot of people, you got a very interesting story, if you don't mind. Can we go back? People like to know, where'd you come from, right?
Oh, yeah. I had a rough childhood coming up. It wasn't a bed of roses, for sure. You know, started out at a young age. My mom was real violent. She was real violent and made it a rough childhood coming up. She left around six, when I was 6 years old, and went off to Chicago, and I think I seen her again when she was 13. My dad stepped up and tried to raise me a little bit, but he was trying to work and pay the bills, and that was very hard to do. He was trying to get by, and my grandparents basically raised me as an early age, and from there, just started looking up for my granddaddy and seeing the things he did in life, or as he joined the military at an early age, and got out of the military. He was in the Air Force, got out of the Air Force, and went to open his own painting business, and did that ever since we passed away. 90-something years old, he's 90. Still painting.
Yeah. First of all, I want to say thank you for sharing that part. I could see that when we were talking. I had my own little kind of quirks. I think we all do as kids. We don't realize that till later how it can affect you. I'm not saying it affected you, but I appreciate you sharing that, because there's a lot of people, believe it or not, I can't even tell you, that watch the podcast and say, I can really connect with that guy. And it's all part of our journey and what we're doing, what makes us do what we do and how we want to be with people. I look at life now, maybe you do too. It's kind of like a movie. It's the only way I could do it. It's a movie. It's not real. We're here for a reason. Don't really know the truth until we go or cross over. I was raised Catholic, so to me it was hell or heaven, one of the two. And I figured if my file cabinet was halfway white and the other one was a quarter black, was maybe I got a chance. So who knows? But it does make you religious. And that makes you think. So where I'm going is I appreciate you sharing that. And obviously it'll make you feel uncomfortable, but thank you for doing that.
It's a rough time. It's hard to talk about that situation in life, but it basically made me who I am. It made me grow up, not to look back and repeat that to my family or anything else, or see if I could help somebody in some kind of way as far as my childhood drama.
Yeah. Let me ask you, let's go back to your grandfather. Tell me what kind of man he is, because I always find it interesting, especially I wish I could go back. I love talking to older people.
They're very knowledgeable.
They're so knowledgeable. So tell me, because your grandfather had not only a great impression on you as far as taking care of you and all that, but what you really like about him? What did he really teach you that made you who you are today?
He's a very Christian man. Tell you any verse in the Bible, he didn't miss. The church doors was open, he was there. He was a very good leader in life, which I wanted to follow his footsteps as far as being a leader, not a follower. And I took that and ran with it. Opened a lot of doors up for me.
Now, it was just you that he raised?
Yes, basically as a kid. He had four other kids.
Okay.
My dad had a brother and two sisters.
Okay.
He raised all them. I was the only grandchild he raised.
Okay. Wow, terrific. Pretty good life. So from 6 to what, 18? When did you join the military? Is that when you left?
No. I left, I guess, when I was 16, moved out. Got a job at a Nana and Pops, a little barbecue restaurant, and started working from there and going to school and went to homeschool at that time so I could work more. Left that, went to the paving business, which my uncle owned a paving company out of DeSoto County, and started working with them, and I guess I spent about a year and a half working on asphalt, paving roads, driveways. Left there, and I started going down a rough road, hanging around our own people in life, and they wasn't going nowhere. And
yeah. Grandmother, was she around?
Yes, she was.
Okay, how was she? Was she run with an iron stick and granddaddy was the leader or what?
That's right. She was at home cooking and taking care of the kids and cleaning, and back in the old days, it was a little different time. Back then, the wife usually stayed home and took care of the household while the man was out working and getting money to pay the bills and live life.
Yeah. And where were you? Where'd you grow up again?
Mississippi.
In Mississippi. What's the name of the town?
Senatobia, Mississippi. About 30 minutes south of Memphis, Tennessee.
Is that pretty small town? It,
really small town.
Really? Okay, so one gas station, one store, everybody knows everybody?
We have a few more than that.
Do you? I'm
we're,
sure you do.
We're growing up.
I'm sure you do.
A little bit.
Very good. So we were talking about, so became a teenager. No. Good grandfather, good granddaddy, grandmother. You said you got into kind of like we all do as teenagers, right? Get a little bored and we start
wandering
hanging
off.
Start wandering off a little bit.
That's
get a little
right.
cocky. What happened there?
I went down that bad road for a little while and I knew that I was going down a bad road and I had to change my life.
You know what? When you say bad road, you got, the time I've known you, dude, you got the biggest heart, you got a lot of integrity. What's really bad for you? Really? Was it really a bad road or just a little off course?
Well, yeah, you know, I had friends with on drugs and I was not, but
yeah,
they was on drugs and women and some of them got into some other stuff, stealing, and it was time for me to distance myself from them.
Yeah.
So that's why I went to the military and changed my life totally around. Served 6 years in the National Guard of Mississippi.
Okay. What'd you do for them?
Infantry.
Oh, very good. How was that?
It was great.
Was it?
It's exactly what I wanted to do when I went in. They tried to talk me into being a mechanic or something that had life skills and
right.
said that infantry wouldn't be nothing when I got out. It is something. It's part of security.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I'm doing today.
Yeah. And then from National Guard, you got into law enforcement, right?
I did. I got into law enforcement in 2010. I got into law enforcement.
In that department? What was the
Senatobia PD.
Okay. Should have known that. Local town. Okay. Very good. And we were talking at dinner last night. You mentioned the canine. I thought that was a pretty cool story.
I always wanted to do something for the community, make sure they was well taken care of. Because back then, that's law enforcement was about is public relations, making sure the community was taken care of. And that's one thing I see now today that we don't have very many of. You have a few good ones that's still out in the community that take care of them. But there's a lot of times that they're worried about tickets and everything else except helping.
Sure.
You're giving a helping hand to make sure that you help that community and where you're from or where you're working at. You take that oath. But yeah, I talked to the chief and wanted to get a canine. Senatobia had never had a canine before. And he told me no several times until one time he said, I tell you what, if you raise the money, we don't have the money to buy a canine. But if you raise the money, we'll get you a dog. So I went out in the community and started talking. And it wasn't 2 months. We had done raised over $10,000. To get a canine for the city. So I went back to the chief and presented it to him, and he couldn't believe that I'd raise this much money in short time. But that's community talking. They knew that, hey, we needed a dog. We needed a canine to serve the community.
Sure.
Because it's a tool. It is a tool for the community as far as helping people, finding people, getting the dope off the streets, and it's a deterrent in itself.
Now, did you have to buy a car? Was that included like the car and the cage and the unit and then the care of the dog? Yeah, those dogs are not cheap. You do all the training?
I did go through the training.
Okay.
Training, I think, was 5 weeks at that time. I went to Tupelo, Mississippi, picked out a dog, met a good instructor there, and he put me on a first dog was a Malaherd.
Yeah.
In between a Malinois and a German Shepherd.
You know the difference between the two?
One of them's lazy and one of them's not.
Yeah. It's very interesting you say that because I noticed with the shepherds, in other words, like there's a bunch of chairs, right, for an example, and you got a suspect in the other end of the chair, say a row of chairs, right? Shepherd will go in between the chairs and go get him and do the bite. Malinois, is it Malinois?
Malinois.
I can't even say it right. Oh, God. So, say it again?
Malinois.
Okay. That dog goes right over the top of the chairs, straight shot.
Oh, he's going to get them.
Yeah, and they're super aggressive. So, yeah, if that's not a pet, you have to understand that dog needs to run.
Right.
Every day. But a fantastic dog.
It was the best of two worlds.
Yeah.
He wasn't just high strung and 90 to nothing, but he had the lazy side and he had the proactive side.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I needed as a first dog, a brand new handler.
Right. Now, did you make him a family dog, too? Was he family / or was he just strictly department? They left him at the department?
He went home with me.
Okay, he went home with you.
We had actually got a donation for us building him a house. We built a house right behind mine, and that's where he stayed. It had air conditioner, heat. He was well taken care of.
Wow.
But he stayed outside. And the reason being for that, because you want him to steadily be a working dog. You bring him inside and introduce him to your family, and you're going to make him a pet. Yeah. He's not going to want to work no more.
Gotcha. Yeah, going to want a treat for him. Yes. Did you do any multi-languages with him or anything like that? Did you have a
specific... He was German.
Was he German? Okay. So he spoke certain German commands?
He did.
Okay, very good. What was your dog's name?
Nitro was my first dog.
Nitro. Okay.
Pretty unique.
Yeah, sounds like it. Now, your cars, did you have the electronic windows where the dog would jump out of the car, or did you go that, it would just open the door?
I had a door popper.
Did you? Okay.
Which the door would come open if I needed him. In certain situations, that door would come open, and he would come to me. I'd give him a command. He'd come straight to me and be looking for the next command.
And you did that for how long?
I worked for Centopia for 8 years.
Okay. And then did that program fold, and you just went to a different department?
I went to a different department.
Okay.
I actually went to Tate County for about a year and wasn't a K-9 no more. Just worked patrol.
Gotcha.
Beat the streets.
Yeah.
Ended up leaving for a little bit, and I got back in. Went to Panola for a little while. Became a K-9 again. Started working I-55 interdiction and SWAT with them.
Yeah, there's no those highways, man.
They're dangerous. Yeah, very dangerous.
And how many cars? People don't realize it. How many cars? We talked about it last night. How many cars were you? Yeah, two or three, you said, at the most?
Tate County, it was two on after midnight. You know, one's working the east side, one's working the west side.
Man.
You need backup. It might be 30, 35 minutes away from you.
Yeah.
Just depending on where you're at in the county.
Yeah. That's dangerous, man.
It's very dangerous. In this day and time, you've got to have backup.
Yeah.
Somewhere close. 30 minutes. That's a long time to wait to be fighting with somebody or on the ground or whatever.
5 minutes is too long to wait. Yeah, you're in trouble for sure.
I think they've got a new sheriff in Tate County, and he's getting a few more deputies on the road. But Panola, where I went to work I-55 interdiction, and they always had deputies. They had part-time deputies that came in to help out, just to give more deputies on the road.
Yeah.
For the community. And that's what it's about, is serving that community.
Yeah. Brother, you look great, man. You didn't get hurt, obviously. That's a good part. Got your peace
of
mind.
Very fortunate.
You had all the experience. And then from there, I got to ask you, here's a big question now. What made you get into security? And that's where we're going.
It took all this to lead me to security. I had a buddy call me and said, hey, I need security. I'm going to open up these three warehouses, and I want you to come run my security. And that's what we did. We opened up a security company and got everything in line and was ready to go, and it fell through. So now I had a security business and no contracts, nothing to do. So I hit the streets running and started advertising and meeting with folks, telling them what I could and couldn't do for them. And the first security job we landed was a warehouse in Memphis, Tennessee, that had problems with people breaking in the door, stealing, and Memphis is a different world.
I heard that, Rodney. I don't know why. I kept thinking, Elvis, it's got to be a real nice place, whatever. But I heard there's a lot of places you just don't walk in Memphis.
You won't come back if you do.
Really?
It's very dangerous there. And Elvis has got a nice place there, did, while he was alive. But they're fixing it up as tourists there all year round.
Sure.
Going to look at Graceland. And
yep.
Very nice place. There are some nice places in Tennessee. You have to know where you're going.
Yeah.
Stay out of the rough areas.
Sure. So your buddy tells you, come on over, we got some security contracts for you, right? And you put it all together, and then there's no security contracts. But you're committed now, right?
That's right. I'm already in.
You're already in.
This kind of goes back to my past, my background as being in law enforcement, being in the military. I had that security mentality, and I started feet on the ground, started running with it, telling people what we could do and how we could do it and meet their expectations and how we was going to run security a little bit different compared to some of the other companies.
Sure. So how'd you do that? You were obviously out of your house, right? Working from your house. Did you went what they call cold call, right? Jump in the car. And what was your first place? Like for me, I hit multi-housing because it was the easiest one.
I started hitting warehouses.
You started hitting warehouses.
There's a lot of warehouses in Memphis.
Let me ask you, how long did it take you to figure that out? When did it really hit you going, you know what, babe? This is a 24-hour business.
It didn't take long to figure that out.
No. And I told you last night, I told you at dinner, I hope your wife got a little bit out of that or she understood. I mean, she does because she works with you. But the big part of it is a 24-hour business, right? So in other words, what I'd like to share with people, especially if you're married or starting, or you get your wife involved in the business, which is great to do because you need all the trust in the world. It's hard to find good employees, but when you come home, you just can't shut it off, right? At dinner, you're talking at dinner, then you're sitting in bed and you're like, hey, oh, by the way, don't let me forget, first thing in the morning, you got to go make sure we got the checks and we got the money in the bank for pay. We got payroll Tuesday. Okay, honey, it's just no time for you. Then your kid want to talk. Your kid, your child comes up to you and wants to show you the artwork or the crayon drawings you just did. And you go, baby, hang on just 1 second. I got my client on the phone. I'll be right with you. And before you know it, there's trouble in River City without you even know it. Because you almost forget about what's really important to you, which is your wife and your child. And I did. First marriage. Cost me. I talk about it, and I do this podcast for a reason. I look into the camera for a reason right now when we're doing this to let people know that. Don't forget that because everybody's watching. Your daughter's looking at the way you and your wife respond to each other. She looks at the way, whether you think it or not, I know she's looking at you when you're on the phone with a client, and pretty soon they quit coming to you when they finish that drawing, when you're on the phone, and daddy's always on the phone, and you don't realize how much time you spend on the phone and your clients. So it's like that happy medium that we talked about last night, meaning when you start that contract with that manager and do a personal video, and I say this to everybody, not only do you have your commitment as far as your contract and what your services are, but I call it an emotional contract. And that's this. My name's Rodney Brown. Okay. Here's how I operate. Not only are we going to do everything we possibly can to provide you the best service, right? And I know you've heard this before, but most important, I want to have the relationship with you means I'm here for you. So from me to you, I'm your one point of contact. Here's the hours of operation. Here's our commitment to service. Here's what we agreed to do. Nothing out of the scope because we love to add stuff, okay? Here's my after-hour emergency number. This is how I'm going to respond to you. How would you like to be responded to? Phone call, email, text, okay? Within reason. After 5 o'clock, don't panic. If it is fire, flood, blood, you come out in your pajamas, I'll come out in my pajamas. It's 50-50 here. Anything related to that, you can count on me. You can call me. Other than that, I'll call you in the morning, within reason, 9 or 10. We'll do the follow-up. It takes time for me to call my guys because, remember, they're working at night. So I got to let them get some sleep. Because if I don't let them sleep, they won't go back to bed. And then I got a guy that's tired driving my patrol car or doing a horrible job on your property.
That's correct.
So can we have that agreement? And you make sure you dial that in because that is going to remove a lot of the stress that you guys have when you're talking to your clients right off the gate because we go into panic mode, right? Think about it. When you get a new client, you don't know their personality. It takes you a month and a half to figure out, are they going to pay me on time? How is this client going to affect me in this business? I really don't want to worry about this contract. I'm trying to build this business. So you're constantly picking up the phone. I got to show them that I'm there. I got to show them I'm there. No, set the tone in the very beginning. Get a clear understanding. And I'll tell you, you can agree with me or not, but after you have that conversation and they look you straight in the eyes and they say, that's not the way I operate, you're going to pick up the phone anytime I call you, okay? Because that's the way I do business. Now, that gives you two options. You can either sit back and you can say, gotcha. You can try to correct it. You can go into your tactical communication or verbal judo skills and see if you can bring it down. But if you decide to take that contract, it better be something you can manage. You got to be prepared. Okay, what to expect, and then go look for another contract to replace that one because it's not going to be a good business. Our problem is we pick up a lot of those. So we were kind of like, does that kind of make sense as far as the, that was my thing that helped me a lot. Maybe it helps others when they start a contract with managers, make sure you set the rules because as you get bigger and you bring people into your operations or you have a salesperson that goes out and makes that contract set up, and has that discussion with the manager. If she's not proactive, meaning they're rushed all the time, you're not the only vendor, right? So they're usually pretty quick. So there isn't like the old days, let's go for a property walk and spend some time because they're pretty discouraged with the security industry. They've got their mind set on what you're going to do for them, what you can't do for them, and they're pretty discouraged. So the biggest part they expect from you or their biggest concerns would be the amenities and keys and stuff like that. So they focus on that. Here's the stuff I want locked up. Here's the keys. Don't lose this. Call me. Here's the maintenance guy. Here's the operation monitor. Here's animal control. Here's poison control. Give me your dispatch number. I need to put it out to the resident or the community. And then you're pretty much pushed out the door. And a lot of the operations people, and it happens, especially if you don't, people don't have experience, they're nervous. They want to get out. They got the contract signed. They just want to get started. But then that's when you miss something, all right? And it's always going to be your fault, depending on the manager. Hey, you forgot to lock up the third gym. I'm sorry, ma'am. I didn't know it was the third gym. In fact, we didn't even have keys from it. And it just starts from there. So it's really that call or when you're there. It sounds like we don't have time today to go through everything. I totally understand it. But most important, I need 15 to 20 minutes with you at minimum. All right. And you have to kind of set that with them before you come. I know it sounds hard, but how many times have you gone to a contract? I don't know if it's happened to you. And you walk in the door and she's, I'll be right with you. I'll be right with you. All right, come on in. Have a seat. Yeah, sit down. Okay, here's the map. Here's the keys. Becky, can you tell Rodney what we need to do? Give me. I'll be right back with you, Rodney. I got to meet, right? And then she comes back. Okay, did you get everything you need? Great. Okay, we're really looking forward to your start. Thank you very much. We're super excited. And then you're out the door and you go, God, I thought that was going to be an hour meeting.
You know, that's happened multiple times. Sometimes you get to a property to assess it or to do a walk around and the manager can't meet with you or didn't show up today. It's a lot of different scenarios that happens in these properties that you go there, you drive an hour or 7 hours because some of our properties are across East Tennessee and just to meet with new property managers, just to introduce ourselves, to let us know who we are.
Yeah, yeah. So some of those things, hopefully that sounds something, I'm hoping that helps some people out, something to think about when you're setting up sales or new contracts. But your properties you're dealing primarily now are a lot of HUD, right?
Correct.
And that's a whole nother animal. Okay.
Yes.
So you've got HUD, they call it in California terms, HUD, D properties, C properties, B properties, and A properties. And those are all pretty much the way they sound. A being high level exclusive, right? Properties that have all the amenities. I don't know if you have that in your area, but here they've got everything. They want it to be like a community. They don't want anybody leaving the house, right? So we've got your amenities, we got your barbecue, we got your fitness center, we got your movie theater, right? We got your dog park, we got your sauna, we got your cold plunge. They want everybody there and cost quite a bit.
Correct.
Live downtown Long Beach or more, I'd say Irvine. They've done a pretty good job and it made it very nice for people. So that is more of a standing position. They want the visibility. They want you to be an ambassador. They want you to be able to provide a partnership, right? It's not just to walk around and just lock stuff up and kick in doors, right? Like a HUD. A HUD, you're almost like the municipality police. You're trying to take the house rule program and
put it in place.
Yeah, can't bring your, by the way, you can't bring your guns and your drugs and your, you can't drink beer in the patio. It's a complete change, right?
Oh, it is. It is. 100%.
Yeah. So what are you doing today? Is it more HUD? And not to take the conversation from you, but I found it really interesting. I found myself going there, I think, because I came right out of the law enforcement like you. And I go, that's like my comfort zone.
Right.
So I went to it because I could speak the language and I could solve the element. But at the end, I never got respected. It's like I cleaned it up. It was like an insurance policy. Oh, okay. I don't think I need life insurance anymore. Thank you. Yep. And then they would kick me to the curb or they wouldn't pay me on time. How's that working for you?
Oh, we've ran into that several times. The first HUD properties, I guess I got into was at Memphis, Tennessee. And with that company, the management company that was over all those was, they didn't take care of the housing. They didn't take care of none of the maintenance of the buildings, even though we report assets on that property to make sure it's functioning correctly, the door shutting, they wouldn't come in and fix it. After a while, they quit paying us too. Put us in a bad predicament, along with giving us more properties in East Tennessee and North Carolina. And as we spread, they quit paying for Memphis because it's a different region. We're no longer with that company. It's pulling teeth. They're so big, it's hard to get your money from them.
Rodney, this is a really good point. And for those watching, you guys got to be really careful. And we talked about this at dinner, right? It's your business. You're trying to run a business. It's the contract, right? And we find ourselves gambling, right? Are they going to pay us? Because they tell you.
Taking that risk.
You're taking that risk, right? Gets up to 90 days, 120 days, right? And then all of a sudden they're coming back. A lot of them, they would say, oh, I didn't get your workers' comp certificate. I need your general liability insurance again. Oh, check's in the mail. It's coming, right? And then you're writing it. Tell me how that feels. Tell the listener how that feels every day. You move to a location to find out a mailbox location that delivers the mail at 7 o'clock so you don't have to stress till 5 when the guy comes, wonder if you're going to meet payroll because you were promised that paycheck.
Or you have to get them to put a tracking number on it so you can track it to make sure they actually mailed it.
And then what do you worry about when they do that? They're going to get rid of me now, right? Because I'm asking for money for services that right. I did for you. Now I have to worry about you, right? Because now I made you mad because I'm asking to be paid.
The main thing is making sure the guys are paid because that's what's made my business.
Have you had to shut down ever because of that?
We have. As far as the company, no. We've had to shut down on some properties, not security no more, because they won't pay their bills.
So how did you do that for those that are listening right now? What was your, let's go back. How did you do it? How did you feel? You just called them up and said what?
I tried to work with them because we want to provide the security there. When we go into a community or a property, we want to meet those expectations, but also we want to make sure that the residents, they feel safe. They are safe. We turn those properties around. And to back up and to leave the property or have to get the guys out of there because they are lacking on paying their bills, but sad for the residents there. I try to work with them. I try to give them fair warning, asking them, pleading with them, emails. But when you don't get response back or they cut you off, then you have no choice. You can't run a business for free.
Yeah.
When the guys are going to be wanting to pay, they're going to be paid. That's the first line of contact with us is the guys on the ground.
Yeah.
So you got to take care of them.
Yeah.
First and foremost.
Yeah, 100%. The other thing I can give my advice would be also is that when you go into a HUD or a large 400-unit community, a drive around the community, a drive around the property shows how proactive they are in regards to residents. Now, when it comes to HUD, they're collecting their money from somebody else. A small portion from the person inside the door.
Most definitely.
And if you have a ghetto landlord that's only reactive and not proactive, he's going to do the minimums because he doesn't care. He's getting paid. He's filling doors. So where I'm going, when you step up above HUD and you're doing these communities, do a good property walk. Look at the parking lot. Look at the cars that have the punched ignition, the punched trunks and the parking and the dirt underneath and the fences that aren't repaired and the graffiti. You ever hear of the broken window theory?
Fill me in.
Broken window theory, especially in the ghetto, was the elements would come into an area location. In other words, if the area was mistreated, the windows were broken, it was graffiti, and nobody responded, nobody took care, the element would hang out there because the idea is that nobody cares. This is a safe place for me to be because nobody here cares. I'll keep coming and doing what I'm doing. I will vandalize. I will steal. So a bad idea is when a community and or city area had graffiti, the abatement teams would go out. It was to take it down immediately because you're telling the element, as soon as you put your artwork up, we're there the next day, so you're wasting your time. Get my thing? So same thing with the broken window theory is that community-based policing to come in and take care of those areas, those locations. What they call community-based policing, you're targeting a specific area with usually a team, and the city pays extra because of cars. Like in Los Angeles County, they had a contracted car for the city. So the city would say, these two cars are for the city of Carson, even though you have outside cities contracting with you. And then with that, they got the helicopter, the K-9 units, and the whole bit. So that's the kind of the theory with the broken window theory for the community. So I learned to figure out what is their vacancy factor, especially when apartments. HUD's different. But if they're sitting at 95.5, sitting at a full house, and you ask the manager, what's your churn? If they'll tell you, or you can figure out the numbers, you can see why people are moving in and why people are moving out. And typically here in a lot of places, it's parking and or security-related disturbances, right? Amenities broken, people just upset because nothing's being taken care of or lack of maintenance to get help or assistance. So good calling, even though they want you real bad, right? And if somebody says, come on in, they're willing to give you a contract in 5 minutes, just send me your bid and I want you starting tonight, you got to sit back and be very careful, especially when they call you and say, hey, right now, we lost our security company. We need somebody tomorrow. Can you cover us?
It's probably
be
a
very careful.
For that.
There's a reason for it, so be very careful. Don't rush to grab a contract. Just say, love to do business with you, but I have to spend some time. I need to come out to the property. If they're not willing to do that, they're not willing to pay you on time.
Most definitely. And that's one thing we do is I personally assess every property we go to just so we can provide the right security at that property.
Sure.
Because every property is different.
Yeah.
I've been to properties right beside each other, and the way you provide that security there.
Yeah. So you're more multi-housing right now, and you got
right
a little
now,
bit of commercial?
Yes. Okay. We have some student housing also.
Okay. And you've been in business for about 3 years?
Yes.
Okay. How's your hiring going? You struggling with any kind of hiring?
Sometimes, certain parts.
Okay.
East Tennessee, I've got a supervisor there that does a really good job bringing folks in, good folks, as far as good backgrounds. We generally like to bring in law enforcement or military backgrounds. They have that security mentality.
Sure.
Compared to the rest of the guys. But there are also some good armed security guards out there that we bring in also to work with our team.
All right. And it's more patrol type, come on the property, do your walks, lockups, stuff like that right now?
Most properties are. We have a couple of properties are stationary.
Okay.
Check in, check out.
Very good.
Make sure who's coming in. They're high rises.
Gotcha. All right. Very good. And your future, what do you want to do in the future? What's your goal? I know we talked about it a little bit last night, but what's your
goal? I want to grow. I want to make sure that the team that we've got now, we can promote and move up with us and grow with us. Later on down the road, who knows what's going to happen. But as right now, we want to focus in growing and providing the best security at these properties we can. We don't want to grow too fast or too big. Like I said, it's me, operations manager, and then we have a couple supervisors on the east side of Tennessee. We want to make sure we give these properties their expectations and meet those.
Sure.
If you grow too big, too fast, you lack in those fields.
Yeah.
You stop giving them that attention. And just like you go back and said, this business is a 24-hour business. It's hard.
Yeah.
The phone's always ringing. Somebody's always calling. You want to make sure you take care of those. And to step back, what you said as far as taking care of them, myself, you always can put somebody in that place to render aid when needed.
Sure.
So when a client calls, I want to make sure that phone call's answered and whatever expectation they have or concern they have is dealt with immediately.
Now, as far as you getting the pulse of your clients, how do you handle that, knowing where your clients sit? In other words, do you do weekly syncs with your team, bi-weekly syncs with your team, getting them together? Do you have somebody make contact with the manager on site when she's there? How do you get, what's your pulse? In other words, me, if we threw stuff on the whiteboard, how do you know where you sit with your clients? What's the best way?
I like talking to them. I like getting together with them and getting their feedback.
Okay.
What we can do to improve or what we can do differently to meet their expectations. If they see something that we're doing that they don't want to see or they want to change it up, because change is always coming. It's
sure. So you yourself make those calls?
I do. The supervisors we have, they keep in contact on a weekly basis with mm-hmm. the client. And I keep a weekly basis, or if not every other day, with those supervisors with the feet on the ground.
Yeah. And you're training with your ops managers? Obviously, they kind of shadow you and they know how you want things done.
They do. They okay. know my expectations.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm always one phone call away.
Sure.
You can always call and ask. If you don't know, check with me.
Yeah.
Let's see how we're gonna structure this and go with it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But communication is key.
Yeah.
We use apps and different things that we can communicate with each other, and everybody's on board. Everybody knows what's going on at property. That's even the guards on the ground. They get these communication texts, and they know, hey, they had a problem with a tenant or a visitor that came on board. So they already know.
Yeah.
If they see them again, it's there.
Yeah.
It ain't like when I know you've been through this in law enforcement where you didn't know them. What happened last night or what mm-hmm. happened yesterday?
Sure.
There was no communication. There was no pass downs.
Yeah.
We've learned a lot coming up in law enforcement and what to do and not to do.
Yeah.
Brought it over to the security side.
Yeah, for sure. If this helps you out too, when you're first starting out, 1 to 3, you don't have a bunch of contracts, a bunch. It's not like you're carrying 200 or 300 contracts. So it's real important that you establish those, your communication base, right? So in other words, not only are you having your weekly syncs, but in those meetings, in other words, you got your folks sitting around the table. You got to make it productive. Everybody loves to come to a meeting with their bagels and cream cheese and coffee and act like I'm a supervisor / manager. But when you're sitting at the table and you have a weekly sync with your team, you got to have your protocol set up with your team. Say, come to the table with a problem. Come to the table with a problem. And the problems that you have, I want you to give me 3 reasons or 3 things that potentially fix that problem. I want your ideas. Okay. And everybody at the table that's sharing this, I want you to share. There's going to be a discussion. And I want to hear from you as an individual, no interruptions. And I want to hear from them. And then as a team, we collaborate on what do you think we could have done better? and then we're taking documentation. There's no excuse anymore. Gemini, get on a note field, talk, right? Communicate that, put in a note field, and you make your teams read that. And they come back the next week and you say, hey, at ABC property, we did this. How are things going? How are they progressing? What do we learn from this? Are we going to put this in our Bible? Are we going to put this in our penal code? Are we going to make this part of our vehicle code? Vehicle code changes every year, doesn't it?
It does.
All right? The Bible doesn't.
No.
But the vehicle code does. Okay? So you got to make that your Bible. You follow me? That's your protocol. That's not going to change. This is what we do business. Because Rodney's not going to sleep when you get 200 clients or 300 clients.
Don't
and you
sleep
can't
now.
Be there. Or you'll be divorced. I'm telling you now. You've got to start establishing why it's easy. Don't wait till it's a problem. It's funny how we look at clients and we say, they're not proactive. We love to be entrepreneurs, but it's all a problem. You should. Problems are good. If you're not having problems and things are going status quo and you're having a problem for a week, you're not involved in your business. Because don't tell me you can't call your supervisor and say, okay, tell me the truth. Really, what's the problem? What's really going on? Because it depends how you manage. Because if you manage in fear, they're not going to talk to you. And you know when you're going to know? When your client gives you a 30-day notice and you've been there and you say, why did I get this notice? I thought she was good. I did. I called her. She said everything was cool. And he's probably true. And you go, let me call her. Step aside. Let me call her. Step aside. Let me call him. Step aside. And pretty soon, you're the main guy. It may feel good, but if you can't get people to do what you're doing as you grow, you're not going to grow. And then the other side, people use as an excuse is, well, I don't want to train. Why do you suppose people don't want to train? Let me ask you that question. Just first thing that comes to mind, why do they not want to train their people? Spend the time or the money to train a person that comes in their office.
Sounds like you ain't got the right person there.
Money. I'm not going to invest in that guy. He's probably going to leave me. Why would I spend my time to train him, give him my expertise to go have him open his own security company and go work my competitor? That's going to happen either way.
No, definitely. We've already had that happen.
Right. So it's like that thing I told you yesterday that we were watching. What was that video? I'm going to play this and hold this, and I want you guys to listen. This is really extremely valuable. This came from, this is really a good clip. Listen to this. This is really valuable.
Warren Buffett, who I like to tell people is my grandfather, says that you're only looking for three qualities in people: enthusiasm, intelligence, and integrity. And he says if they don't have the third one, the first two are very malicious. And I couldn't agree more. I think integrity is the only one that matters. Sense of humor definitely helps.
So,
yeah, that's
makes
what
sense.
I tell every one of my guys, be straight up with us.
Yeah.
Don't sugarcoat the truth. Tell us.
We could tell them.
That's right.
We can tell them. But if they don't understand it, then we have to what? Teach them. That's a culture built, especially when you come in the office because you're their first point of contact. When you're in the office and you're standing around them and a client calls, go tell the client I'm not here. Tell them I'll call them back. They're looking at that. Get it?
Right.
They're looking at you. What did they just learn? Tell the client I'll call them back.
They follow those footsteps.
You get where I'm going. So the important thing I'm saying is that you want to establish what your good contracts are going to be and who your good clients are going to be. Where do you really want to do business? What you're learning right now is HUD is a pain in the ass. HUD doesn't pay well. I'm trapped. I've got a stepchild, but I adopted him, okay? I got to feed him. I got to wait till he's 18. He grows up. That's your contract. You don't want HUD the rest of your life. You'd love to get out of that, wouldn't you?
I would.
Yeah, sure.
But on the other side, I do making a difference at these communities.
Yeah.
But you can look at the statistics from the PDs or the sheriff's department in these communities or where we're doing security at these properties, and you can see what we've done to come in and change. And not only the staff, the owners, very appreciative.
Sure.
Most of them.
Yeah.
The ones that pay.
Yeah.
But the residents, the ones that really need that help,
yeah,
are there for the right reason.
Sure.
You make them a safe living. They can lay their head down at night. They're not having to worry about bullets flying through the windows or somebody kicking their door in and taking everything they've achieved or got, trying to move out of there and get a better place to live and raise their family. That what we bring to those properties are very overwhelming and grateful for me.
So that was beautiful. So where should that be? A video in the very front of your sales presentation. That's your opening line. But most important at the end of that is, so pay me on time, because this is what we do. Because if you don't,
we can't be there.
You can't be there. And you can be a bleeding heart. You got a great heart. You got great integrity. But a lot of people don't think like you. It's a doggy-dog world. They're not even paying police. They're defunding the police. They're handcuffing everybody. And the bad part, your clients look at you now. Hey, can you help us? And they're asking you to do more things like the police, which we're not in the position to do because we're not peace officers sworn by the state of California. We're walking, talking burglar alarms. We're visibility. We're supposed to be a deterrent. And I get where you're going, especially when you're law enforcement. You want to go more. You want to help those people. It feels good. Makes you feel good. But your team has to feel good. But at the same time, your team has to be damn safe when they're walking the property. And you got to be very careful how you teach them to walk a HUD because they don't have your experience. They want to have your experience. They love who you are. They want to be like you. And they, in other words, you got to make sure they don't go too far themselves outside of the scope of work because the managers and them will put that on them when they're walking around. So again, it's all part of the training. You follow our Bible. Doesn't matter what the clients say, you call me. So there's a bunch there is where I'm going. Okay.
We've dealt with that as far as managers, property managers coming down to the guard saying, hey, we need you to do this or need you to do that. But there's no contacting us, letting us know what they want to change or it crumbles when they do that because now you're telling one guard to do something different than the other guards don't know when they get there.
Yeah.
There's no communication. There's going to be problems.
Yeah. That happens. That's where they communicate because that's what they do with the other vendors.
And we have to learn how to adjust to that. And that's what we do.
And what's that? In the very beginning, right?
Yep.
Say, here's the protocol. So don't be surprised when I say, no, we couldn't do that. Remember, Becky? We sat down. We talked about it. Here's the rules. Here's the email, right? Here's my Gemini document. I said specifically, love to help you. I'm all there for you, but you got to go to the protocol. Because if you tell Andy, Andy's going to tell Barry, Barry's going to tell Gary, we're in the telephone game. And by the time we get there, it was a lockup. And the other guy took it. It just shut the gate.
And
all right?
Becky turned into
Karen. I want to make sure it gets done correctly. It's not that we don't want to do it. It's not that I want to bill you or keep billing you. It's that I have to have a good line of communication. And when you are breaking in the middle, all right, it ruins team concept here. So one point of contact, this is where you go. If you have issues, don't talk to this, not issues. If you have any changes, this is where you go. This is my email. This is how you do it. And then I will do weekly check-ins. Is there anything you need? Send that. Because that gets into my weekly meetings, and that's where discussion is not out in the field. Otherwise, we're going to miss something. Okay? So please understand. But it's all set up in the beginning. And so as you grow, be very careful with your sales team. They have to be there. And that's why a lot of guys don't have salespeople, because that's what happens. And you feel, I have to do it.
Right.
So how about this concept? Why don't we do something to where you don't have to do sales? Because if you came in my door and you said what you said, dressed the way you are with your background, I'm all in. The only thing that's going to stop me from doing it is the budget. And me as a manager or person that wants a contract with you, my personality, am I proactive? If I'm proactive and I'm military and I'm former law enforcement and I'm a property manager, you're my guy, right?
Most definitely.
Yeah. So you see where I'm, see what I mean?
Yep.
A little bit. So anyhow, it's real important, especially as you grow. But most important is tools, right, to help you manage that. And there's a lot of great tools out there that we can use. So in the beginning, when you first get started, let's talk about your software programs to help you streamline. And let's tell me what really worked for you. You were, when I met you, you were using SilverTrack.
That is correct.
Okay. So take me from the beginning with SilverTrack. How did you like that program beginning?
When we first started, goes back to we was doing a paper trail. Guys was filling out a daily log, incidents on this log. And it got to be a bunch. We're having to send these logs to the property manager or the security director and letting them know what's going on these properties. So I said, there's got to be a solution. There's got to be something different we can get in so they can have this. So we searched and we found a program called SilverTrack. We started running SilverTrack, I guess, 6 months. Maybe a little longer. We was having problems one after another, trying to communicate with them. There was no communication. We would email, not get nothing back for days, weeks. So we was very unhappy with SilverTrack.
What year was that? When did you start SilverTrack?
I'm going to say 2023.
Okay. I sold in 2019, and I'm sorry that happened to you. I know a lot of things went downhill, but okay, so 2023, that's when you started. We're in the 25 mark. So you had it for how long?
I had it for about 6 months, a little bit longer maybe.
Okay.
You know, they kept on calling me because they wouldn't ever talk to us about Silver Trax. It was basically outdated to them. They kept trying to get us on a new program they had with Track Force. That's not the route that I wanted to take. If you won't communicate with me or you won't fix the problems we have right now, then we're not going to switch to some other program that you have that you're trying to put on us. We're not going to do it. I received a call from you talking about Vision Insights and what it was about. And we ran with it. You made some good, interesting conversations that day and telling us about what it could do for us. And we ran with it. Ever since then, it has been great. Just the other day, I had to call y'all about an incident that one of my guys did. They went in and was trying to fix it and threw a flag in it, and it threw a flag in the whole system. But communication was key because I called you, you responded right then and got the issue fixed. Now we're moving on, we're ginning. So yeah. It's night and day.
Vision Insights is the simplest, most powerful security guard management software. No long training, no complicated systems. Guards can start reporting in minutes. Train your teams with micro trainings, attaching video to individual checkpoints to walk them through sensitive procedures. Submit accurate reports every time with dynamic observations that automatically rewrite, categorize, and prioritize, removing human error. And grow your business with daily, monthly, and quarterly insights, the most advanced reports available today. Vision Insights, the simplest, most powerful way to report.
Yeah, it's very important. Our teams, other partners, everybody's very skilled, came from the industry, including the support teams. So when you have a security company and you're on site, we've all been there, right? And if it's when it's a new contract and the guard is calling, ask for support because he has an issue, doesn't matter what it is, the idea, here's what we're thinking. Not only are we going to fix the phone or whatever the issues are, and here's for just for the record, okay, maybe you're tech savvy or not. If you're having a problem, everybody always thinks it's a major problem. But rest assured this, if you're having a major problem, so is everybody else. The software doesn't work that way, right? It's only going to affect you. So chances are most of the time, in fact, most of the time, it's user operator error. So they, what happened with you, your guy went in, created a different username profile, right?
Correct.
Wasn't system related, but he thought it was. And he's got PTSD from the other service set there, but he was very professional. But we got it resolved. Okay. But where I'm going, it's usually user error. So just within reason, give us time. We understand that. But where I'm going is that we know how important it is for that guy to continue his business on that property, that contract, because we have been there. We don't tell him, okay, thank you. We'll send a support ticket. We'll get back to you tomorrow. Here's your email. Tell your boss, Rodney, that we'll have somebody contact him within the next 24 hours. That doesn't do anything for you. And we understand that. That's most important. So when you're dealing with software, number one, it has to work, right? No question. It has to work. Number two, support. And number three, is it always advancing? And number four, is it overbuilt? And number five and six is, are you going to start getting into scheduling and payroll and things that you aren't really good at? We're not payroll experts.
Not at all. No. Wasn't an expert when I got in here. Yeah. Still ain't an expert.
Yeah, no, we're not payroll experts. So the idea is we do what we do very well, and that's industry expertise in security, parking, maintenance, not only in the security industry, but clients, because I personally dealt with them 16 years. My other partners, same thing. They ran security companies, and then we have obviously our great tech team, especially so with AI.
That's what sets y'all apart. My background is security. Y'all's background in the software department. Y'all are set apart because you've had a security business. You were former law enforcement. And now you know what it takes to run that. So it shows a lot. And these other security softwares, who knows what their background is, what they've done.
We're a little different because we're very reserved. We're very careful on who we pick too. We don't want every security company. Not everybody's a good operator. We spent years and years in this industry taking care of clients and taking care of people like you that care, that want to make a difference. Your heart condition shows. That's the clients we want. We're not here for a monthly subscription fee so we can hockey stick it and wait for some, I won't even get into it, investment group to come in and say, oh, we're the best thing to sliced bread. We're going to totally take care of you. We love you so much. Things are going to be so wonderful. Let us help you. Let's do this. And I wouldn't have done that if I didn't have that tragic event that forced me to sell in 2019. And I won't continue to talk about it, okay? Because then I'll have my own PTSD, and this will be my own podcast, all right? But I feel you. I understand. I'm sorry you went through that. And I'm not bad-mouthing the other people. It's just,
well,
you know.
Me neither.
The other thing is, it's just you do what you do best, and it's all based on the team. And anytime you go into any kind of business, you always look at the team. You look at the team. It starts from the team first, then you get into the product. Who's running this thing? What's their background? So same thing kind of with you. So didn't mean to go that direction, but the good part is you've gone from Silver Track. That was a big deal for a lot of people. Being able to go paperless, go be able to go red, yellow, green, priority levels, a pitcher, don't worry about effects. That's old school now. So now we come up with vision. And tell me the big difference. When we had Silver Track, or when I had Silver Track, it was great because the guard companies would call and say, oh, yeah, it's really good. It's really helped my guards. I can really watch them. I can really make them accountable. I can watch the QR codes. I can watch all. That's all the conversation. Today it's changed because, and we know this, because we built it, as you probably figured, for the client, your clients. Make sense?
It does make sense.
What are your clients saying about those reports?
Oh, they love them. I love the reports. I love that they can look. They don't have time. A lot of these managers don't have time to look at all these reports and go through there and look at this green, red, yellow. They don't have the time to look at that. So you pull our reports up, and it shows you a brief description of what happened within that 24 hours of that shift, that post. Mm-hmm. So they know. They can read, oh, we had an incident at this certain time, and scroll down and see the report for that incident.
Yeah.
They don't have to go through there looking or searching for those reports or seeing on a daily activity.
Yeah.
It makes it a lot easier, their life a lot easier to be able to see this.
Yeah. And it's no secret. There are some clients that are really proactive, and they're going to look every day because they're proactive. But the only reason they're proactive and the only reason why they're looking at the reports is because they are proactive. But if the information is shitty, excuse my language, they're going to quit looking. All right, then it's just a matter of time. You're going to go away. You just become, okay, they're doing the job. I don't really have a choice. There isn't a big selection out there. The market, you're a marketing tool for them in reality. It's all you really are. You're a marketing tool. And there's really nobody, even the bigger players, that provide anything outside of that. So our thing is, and tell me if you notice, the reporting issue. You notice that? The chapter of a book.
Yep.
We're telling a story every time your officer hits that plus button, which is so easy to use. Boom, talk, picture, video, done. Nope. Multilanguage, Spanish, doesn't matter.
They go through many steps to get to that, to report that incident.
Okay.
It's very few steps.
Okay, easy for them, right? No, reduced training, right?
It does.
Don't have to worry about a login. I forgot. It's an excuse. Anything that a guard can say is an excuse. Have we eliminated that?
We have.
Okay, so we didn't jump in back into the game to go, oh, let's just come up with another solution because we have expertise. No, we said, and we all sat at the table as we'll call ourselves a Ford Motor Company that's jumped to the Lamborghini thing. We're saying we're building a race car, and what else are we going to add to this race car to cut our time by 5 seconds? Not 3 minutes, not somebody who can buy a monthly subscription so we can grab you. We cut the time down by seconds in that application for you and the software. We have streamlined this. This makes a huge difference. And let's get back to the client now. So as far as reporting goes, when they do look, if they're proactive, they're going to want to look every day because the story is interesting and there's stuff in there that they have to now follow up. They can't mess up. They can't blame you now. Before?
That's right.
It's not a bullshit report. It says other. I'm sorry, Bob. I didn't have a chance to look at it. I know you're the regional manager. I look at it. It said other there, and I saw one pitcher, but behind the other pitchers on Silver Track, those were the good ones, but I didn't have time to log in and look at that report. We have it on the carousel. It's all right there in front of them now. It's black and white. The narrative is beautiful. They can say whatever they want. And it's multi-language, as we mentioned. So
yes. What
are we doing? We're putting it right in front of them. And now we made it so easy to say, here's the entire day. You don't have to flip through all of it. Just read the insight report. Read the Reader's Digest. And it basically says, hey, Bob, don't worry about it. We had a good day. Oh, but apartment A was a pain in the butt, blah, 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 right? And they go, great. And then if you want to enjoy it and read it, great, it's there. But the critical part, and you guys need to, This is really important. When that client sits down at a meeting, and which they'll do, they will say, bring your reports, bring your security reports, bring the maintenance reports, bring the yard reports. We're going to have a meeting. Okay, let's talk about your vendors. Let me see the security stuff. How long have these guys been doing this? What are they really doing here? I talked to Chris, and I've talked to him several times. It's bullshit. You're going to get thrown under the bus. And by the way, you're going to get kicked to the curb. And that's why when you guys get a 30-day notice and you go, where did that come from? I thought things were great. That's where it came from. So the editing on the reports, the line of the patrols. Hey, my guys couldn't get there. Is there any way that we can go in there and edit it? Let me tell you, the managers know exactly what you're doing. If you think you're getting away with something, you're not. Especially when you're new, you don't understand, you think she'll never know. But what you don't realize is how easy it is when they have other properties to call the sister property and say, hey, grab your report for a second. What time did the guy get there? 9, 10, 11, 12. That's when it was more written. But right. They're right around the clock. So how can he get here and go across town in 10 seconds? So we're changing that. You can't change that. We can't change that.
That's so accountability.
You can't change that. We're not about accountability anymore. You can't change it. You want to grow in this business? You got to be a partner. You have to be a partner. So what are we doing? We're taking all our expertise and we put it in that Vision Insight tool. Now, you either get it or you don't get it. Okay. But in reality, your client gets it. Your client's seen those reports. Guess what they're saying? Hey, maybe we should own this data and give them the mobile device. So the idea is this. Let's be a better partner with the client. You now have a tool for the very, very first time to really engage and be there, and you can take your C player, I won't say dumb guard, I won't say that, C player guard, and you can make him look like an A guard, right? You don't have to worry about editing his reports. We can set up the protocols like tasks now to where they don't have to, but there's written narratives. There's a lot of cool marketing pieces. I'm not going to get in here and sell Vision anymore. I know it appears in it, but I have to talk this way because I got you in front of me. I've got other people talking. This is the change of the industry, and this is where it's going. And we have got the car to get you there in when it comes to retention for contracts. Let me ask you, with the reports now, are you worried about anybody taking those contracts right now?
No, because there's nobody around that has a reporting system.
Okay, nobody's around. But if somebody was around, what would be the reason for the change? It wouldn't be $5 with the data that stuff's going on. Even if it was cheaper, it would be very hard, I think. I'm going to take words out of your mouth. What do you think?
I think if somebody did have another system like this or software like this, you still got your foot in the door with them. Mm-hmm. They still see what you can provide. You've been there from the get-go.
Yeah.
And you're giving them all this from this software. It's a no-brainer not to change or go somewhere else.
Yeah. Cool. So future looks like, what's your goal in the future?
We want to grow.
Okay, you want to grow?
As a team. You know, like I said before, it ain't me. Yeah, I started this business. But it's the feet on the ground that makes this business, the people we put in place. When we go back to HUD properties and talking about those or any property, you have to have the right guard for certain properties. You can't just put anybody in these properties to do security. Every one of them's different.
Yeah.
Every culture is different. You want to make sure you put somebody there that is very respectable, but also means business.
Yep. You going to leave this as a legacy? Are you going to plan on selling it later? What's off the top of your head? What is it?
I don't know yet. That's to be determined.
Okay.
Sale sounds great, but who knows what the future holds.
Yeah. But if you do, what's most important, we talked about it last night, retention, long-term contracts, happy customers, and a good management team. And you want us to go out the door later. So this is a perfect opportunity. That's right. This is a perfect opportunity right now to do this with this tool and the thought process. And as we're here to help you. So I look forward to, we talked about it last night, bi-weekly meetings and just getting on the phone for a half an hour and just the new stuff that you're doing so we can do that as well. That's the other thing we offer with our good clients, right, to help you any way we possibly can. Doesn't matter if you're going to go buy a patrol car. Like I said, give us a call. Well, we're never going to tell you what to do. We'll just tell you what didn't work and what didn't work for 2,600 operators that we spent time with over 16 years when we ran a software. And by the way, we were the first ones to originate real-time reporting as well. So we've been a game.
Something that helps out too, real-time reporting, far as these clients, they have to know what happens on these properties 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
even the owners, they come to a walkthrough maybe twice a year. There might not be from there, that state, et cetera. But they get to see with these reports what's going on in that property like they are there. The broken glass or broken door or an incident, a domestic or a tenant violating their house rules or HUD rules, whatever the case may be. Yeah. They're getting these reports real time to know, hey, I need to address this. We need to fix this.
Yeah, and the analytics behind it is incredible. And that's, again, that's what makes the difference, because we're not going off a drop-down menu that you had to pre-build yourself and determine what those inspections are.
Correct. And then they get the option to text or email, and that makes it even better for them.
Yeah.
Because some of them, they don't want to open their emails up, but they'd like to see a text.
Yeah.
If something severe, a fire or a shooting or whatever the case may be that's happened on that property.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, let's do this. Let's have a pack. We communicate like the way you communicate with your team. This isn't, like I said, I want to have a long-term relationship. We've known each other for a while now, and I hope to continue this with you. You've got us at your, whenever you need us, right? Not just a support, but anything related to business stuff. And good part is we're here for you.
That means a lot.
We're here for you. And I really appreciate you and your wife flying in.
Oh, yeah.
Flying into California, taking that risk.
Always.
Yeah.
That's what we do it for.
I know. It was a lot of fun. It was really good meeting your wife. She's a lovely lady, and it was fun sharing stories at dinner last night. And it's nice to, when you go away, you feel like you kind of came, you didn't just come in for a podcast, but right? Just more therapy.
That's right.
Would be a good way of putting it, more therapy. Nice dinner and therapy and a podcast.
Networking. And
networking.
You know, all of above. That's, you want to grow, you've got to step out.
Yeah. 100%.
Step out of that element and take that risk.
Yeah. It's,
yeah. As long as you have good boots on the ground and good guys working for you, and you know, it'll go.
Yeah.
People see that. People see that they're getting what they pay for.
Yeah.
It's not some security company that's coming in and, oh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, and they don't do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
We live up to what we tell them.
Yeah, right? No question. And the good part, we're going to dinner tonight. You're going to meet our CEO, Art Williams. Fan of yours as well.
Oh, yeah.
Art's doing a phenomenal job with the company. He's got a great vision. It's kind of like, he kind of reminds me of he's going to maybe hate me for this, or maybe he's going to like me for it. It's kind of like the Steve Jobs, right? He's got this mastermind vision going on, right? I see him in stage pretty soon. You know what our goal is? Find people like you. And I know he'd probably agree with me on this one. We're going to get about 150 people. We're going to go right over here to this Bay Theater. They've just been redone. In fact, I just met with him. It's a beautiful theater, right? Imagine being on stage. And then coming out with our new products that were coming out, they're going to be mind-blowing, right? Be able to share that. I know he looks forward to doing that someday, because this is not a product that's going to lie dormant.
Oh, yeah.
You better put your running shoes on. And guess what? We're all way halfway around the track. We're three-quarters around the track. So unless you're faster than us, it's going to be pretty hard. So come join us. Come be part of the group. Drink our Kool-Aid. You're going to love it. And we're here for you all the time.
Okay. I heard Art's a good runner, too. So.
Yeah, he is a good runner. He's a good runner. But he's doing a phenomenal job. Alex also. I got to keep him confidential. He's our private avatar. Everybody looks at him and says, is he an avatar? Is that guy real? He's so smart. He's just so smart. But I think we got a great team. And plus our Thomas and Curtis, our support team. They originally came from me from Silver Trek. Art worked with them as well. And he hired them to come in, obviously, because they fit the mold. So it's so much fun, dude. So much fun. I love doing this.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I really am too. And I look forward to our calls, as mentioned. And we got to get you back here.
Oh, yeah. All I'd like to come back sometime.
Yeah, we'll get you out of Long Beach. So we'll get you out of Rainbow Harbor. Right? Yeah. Keep you safe.
I should have listened the first time.
No, that's all right.
We live and learn, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
Sometimes the hard way.
Every day. And that's one thing. Problems are good.
There's always changes.
There's always changes. So when there's a bad day, all it can do is go up.
That's right.
All right.
It'll get better.
Yeah, it's going to get better. Okay, go back to the 100 acre. Get on that horse. I want to see your daughter in that rodeo.
Oh yeah.
Okay, I want to see that barrel race. Oh, she's cute as hell, and what she was doing on that rodeo. Give me your daughter's name again.
Addie.
Addie, I'm watching you, and I saw you barrel race. It was incredible. It was really cool. I'm very impressed. Keep that up. You're doing a great job, and you need to come out to my place in Texas when you get a chance. I don't ride horses. I don't know how to ride a horse. I'm scared of them, so I don't know how you do it. But your poor daddy watching you ride the horse, I know his heart shrinks every time.
Yeah. Yep. Scares going through the alleyway and watching her, but she's doing it because she loves it. Yeah. All you can do is support that.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Again, Rodney, thank you for coming, bro.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it. Do me a favor. Be safe, and let's stay in touch.
Most definitely.
Okay, bud. Have a good one.
You too.
Comment, like, share, and subscribe.